In the name of the crucified and now risen Christ. Amen. Here's a question for an Easter morning. Does God talk to you? This morning, I'm not actually going to ask for a show of hands, but I suspect that some of you are thinking, well, yes, pretty regularly. While others of you are thinking, no, and that would be kind of nuts. I'm hoping, however, there's a lively middle group. You're the ones who are not sure about God speaking, but at least curious, open to the possibility. Well, it seems to me there's lots of ways to hear God, but today I'm sticking with a fairly straightforward one, because the story at the center of this day, the story that is the reason for this day, is God talking to us really directly, really clearly. Today, God speaks to us and says two things. Actually, what God says to us comes down to two words. Just two words. No and yes. In that order. You just heard the story. Women coming to the tomb met by two men in dazzling apparel. We're going to go right ahead and just assume they're angels, asking why these women are looking for the living among the dead. Then there are the men, who upon hearing from the women, assume they're just overwrought and telling tales. But Peter decides to run to check it out anyway. And Peter, looking around with no angels to block his line of sight, sees the burial linens neatly folded in the corner. He's amazed. That's the story. Not a lot of words, but you will have realized that none of them were no or yes. It's the story itself that God is using to deliver the message. It starts with no. It starts with no. Up until that Sunday morning, the world in this story is the world we absolutely know, and some of it's terrible. If you have seen the news this morning, you know about the terrible bombings in Sri Lanka. The world is always full of terrible and yet familiar news. Well, in this story, Jesus had been horribly tortured and murdered on Friday. The women who followed him during his ministry, the same women we encounter today, grieved. The men who were afraid of being recognized as his followers were in hiding. So when this day dawned, there was love, and there was grief, and there was fear. I know you know those emotions. I know some of them are actually right here, right now, right in this room. There's also in the account the women providing a portrait of getting on with what needs to be done, doing the right thing, even if it's really the very last thing you want to do. We know those feelings too, maybe also this morning. The resurrection, intimated by the empty tomb, signified perhaps by those neatly folded burial clothes, the resurrection is God's no. As one person has put it, it is God's sharp no to every gleeful crucifixion. It's the no to all the ways the world works that deal us death and grief. For if Jesus is raised from the dead, then while death and grief are real, they are not lasting. Life is what lasts. The prophets had been telling us that God's intention and plan has always been for new life, telling us that God's plan, as we heard in Isaiah, is to create a world where weeping is no more. But we have a history going back almost from forever of dismissing, at best, or at worst, killing the prophets. So in the fullness of time, God sent Jesus, the only Son, to show us what God's no to the ways of the world looks like in the flesh. Every healing, every word of forgiveness, every hungry person fed, every outcast welcomed, and every parable about the kingdom of God where lost sheep are sought and found was God saying no to the ways of the world. Those altogether familiar ways that say, some in this life are worthy of love, worthy of care, worthy of homes, worthy of health, and some aren't. This world that then sets about building barriers or hoarding resources or striving endlessly for the world's approval and success, not even realizing when we do those things, because we are among those who do those things, that we are actually building ourselves a tomb. A nicely appointed one, perhaps, but a tomb. And in the response to Jesus' challenge, in response to all those no's, the world shouted its own, adding violence and vengeance to the mix and arranging a crucifixion. But even then, God in Christ spoke softly but insistently, confronting even death with love and speaking forgiveness to those who nailed him to the cross. No, no, not your way, but God's way. The world was no match for that no. The stone rolled away, the burial clothes were left behind, and Christ rose, which once the reality became clear to those women and those men, once they encountered the risen Christ in the flesh, and we get those stories in the next few weeks, so come on back. Once that happens, those women, those disciples, had the power to finally say yes, to say God's yes, to the truth revealed in the resurrection that love is stronger than death, to say to every person, yes, you are a beloved child of God. That resurrection changed them. Peter went from a man so fearful of the powers of this world that he denied Jesus three times to becoming a man who proclaimed Christ and his resurrection to anyone and everyone, even though it would cost him his life. It changes people in every generation. It changed John Newton, the man who wrote Amazing Grace, who was an English priest, but before that and for a long time, was the captain of a slave ship, who once he decided he believed, dared to read the Bible. His ears had been closed for a long time, but eventually he heard God's no. No to slavery, no to his complicity, no to his own sin. But John Newton also heard the yes. Yes, that he could change. Yes, that he could be forgiven. And yes, that slavery must be abolished. John Newton wrote about Amazing Grace because John Newton knew Amazing Grace. He knew resurrection. So did Martin Luther King Jr. He heard God's no to the ways of the world at his father's knee. And he heard Jesus' yes to every oppressed person and gave up his position as an up-and-coming Baptist preacher and finally gave up his life that this country might begin to say no to the sin of racism. Desmond Mpilo Tutu learned the gospel as a boy. He was taught its truth by a white Englishman, learning that God said no to everyone and everything that said that boy was not a child of God. And once grown, he helped dismantle South African apartheid without ever turning in hate against those who hated him. He had learned that God loved them too. Two words, no and yes. Good words, godly words, resurrection words. So what do we need to do? Having heard God, we need to find our voice. Find our voice and say no to the world's violence and hatred, its barriers and its fear, and no to our own endless striving. We need to find our voice and say yes, yes to the value of each person, yes to the disarming power of love, yes to God who wants us to know that nothing, not even death, can separate us from his love in Christ Jesus. So we've started Easter. We've got 50 days. It's a long season. Let's find our voice. Let's let resurrection loose in the world. Amen.